Luke chapter 2, and we're going to talk about remembering the real meaning of Christmas, which they sung about today and did such a great job in worshiping Him, getting you excited, getting you in the mood of Christmas. Amen. Yeah, there were some rocking Christmas songs like that. I like them. Are y'all rocking with Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. All right. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to talk about that, as I said, remembering the real meaning of Christmas. I got something for you. Little Johnny went to his mother demanding a new bicycle. His mother decided that he should take a look at himself and the way he acts. She said, "Well, Johnny, it isn't quite Christmas, and we don't have the money to just go out and buy you anything you want. So why don't you write a letter to Jesus and pray for one instead?" After his temper tantrum, his mother sent him to his room. He finally sat down and wrote a letter to Jesus. "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year. I would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, Little Johnny." Now, Little Johnny knew that Jesus really knew what kind of boy he was, a brat. So he ripped up the letter and decided to give it another try. "Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year, and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, Little Johnny." Well, Little Johnny knew that wasn't totally honest, so he tore it up and tried again. "Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year. And can I have a new bicycle? Signed, Little Johnny." Well, Little Johnny looked down into his heart, which, by the way, was what exactly his mother warned him to do. He crumbled up the letter and threw it in the trash can and went running outside. He aimlessly wandered about, depressed because of the way he had treated his parents and really considering his actions. He finally found himself in front of a Catholic church. Little Johnny went inside and knelt down, looking around, not knowing what he should really do. Little Johnny finally got up and began to walk out the door and was looking at all the statues. All of a sudden, he grabbed a small one and ran out the door. He went home and hid it under his bed and wrote this letter: "Jesus, I've broken most of the Ten Commandments. I've shot spitwads in school, tore up my sister's baby doll, and lots more. I'm desperate. I've got your mama. If you ever want to see her again, you better give me a bite. Signed, Little Johnny." Amen. Remembering the real meaning of Christmas. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and God, I thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house, enjoy worshiping you and live music, Lord. And Father, just excitement behind the songs that were sung. And Lord, how they all portray to remembering the real meaning of Christ and the real meaning of Christmas, the Lord. It's about Christ. God, I pray as we open up your word today and as we read it, Father, may you bless the reading of your word. Father, may it go forward. May we not only be hearers of the word, but doers. God, may we open up our hearts and our ears and our mind and receive your word today. Thank you for the sweet spirit in this place. Father, fill this place with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless your word to go forward. Bless it to accomplish what you would have it to do. Father, may it change our lives. May it have an impact on our lives. May we not be the same as what we walked in here as. May we be revived, renewed, and refreshed, the Lord, because of your word that we apply to our life today. Change hearts, the Lord. Change lives. Save souls. God, we're going to thank you for what you're going to do. We give the service to you. We pray and ask your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Look at me with Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 20. It says this: "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with a child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought first her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As I thought about this, I thought about remembering the real meaning of Christmas. And as we talked about, we see here is Mary and Joseph. And it was time for them to be headed to Bethlehem. It was the time of taxing, and they were headed to Caesar. Caesar was making life difficult for the Jews at this time. Israel also had been longing for a Savior to be sent to them. They had been looking for the Savior of the world. That was been told to them, and they had been waiting a long time for this promise to have been fulfilled and sending the Messiah to deliver his people. Worship had its set of rules. The government was oppressive. The economy was oppressive. The church was oppressive. Mary was expecting her first child to be born, and Mary and Joseph didn't even have a place that they were going to. They were en route to Bethlehem, so they were expecting to deliver. Had no place, had no room in an inn, so they found themselves in a barn and in a stall to deliver the birth of Jesus. I'm sure that Mary and Joseph must have thought, you know, God, you've chosen us for this time, for this reason, for this purpose. God, you chose Mary to deliver this birth. Now, God, here we are on a journey 80 miles from our house, and here we arrive in Bethlehem to be told there's no room in an inn. God, what's your plans? God, what's going on? Lord, I thought you loved me. I thought I was your child, your chosen one. God, all this is happening. The taxes are due. I'm going to have a baby. There's no place to have it at. I'm going to be in a barn and be laid in a stable. I imagine a bunch of things were running through their mind and things of that nature. Why am I going through all this stuff? Folks, there's lots of things that we go through the year. All year long, things happen in our lives, whether we're losing loved ones our families is on the rocks and things of that nature, and our children, something's happened to them, and surgeries and hospital visits and sicknesses and illnesses, and things come up and lose a job, and the economy is failing and things are oppressing. So all these things were going on, as we read here with Mary and Joseph. Does it sound like anything we face today? Same kind of things that we go on. But remembering the real reason, the real meaning of Christmas, if you're taking notes, number one, I want us to look at the shepherds in the light. The shepherds in the light. When you look back at verse 8, it says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were camped out, watching over their flock, folks, keeping them secure and safe from a thief that might come in, or from a coyote or a bear or a lion or whatever it was. The shepherds had a responsibility to take care of the flock, to take care of the sheep, and they were overseeing them and things that were going on. And this was things at night. And I thought about this. In the night, they were watching. Things look different in the night. Amen. Things look different in the night. Problems seem to be magnified when? In the night. And you know, and I thought about these things that were going on. And how many hunters are in here? We got some hunters in here. I know we do. You know, when I was growing up and we were in the woods, and my brother and I, we've been hunting a lot together over these past few weeks, and it's great that we've got back together and been able to do those things. It's been a long time since we've been able to. But we've been hunting together and just being in the woods with my nephew and things of that nature, and I can remember us being raised in the woods and growing up and hunting in the night. Not deer hunting, but better clear that up in case there's any game wardens in here. But, you know, hog hunting or fox hunting and things of that nature. And I'll never forget, you know, we would always find the lighter wood and lighter knot wood and make a little fire and turn the dogs out, and they would be trailing and jump a fox or what have you. Sometimes they jump the deer or whatever. And things in the night. I can't tell you the rest of that story. Things in the night go on. And, you know, you got to catch the dog somehow. But anyhow, you end the race. That's all. End the race. Don't have to ask how you end it, but you end it. But anyhow, you know, you out there, and I'll never forget. My brother and us were on the road, and all of a sudden the dogs got on a deer. And that deer ran him slap over. He had hoof prints like Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. He got ran over by a deer, and it knocked him out, man. And I never forget those things, hunting in the night. And then if Dad told us we got to go in the woods to get the dog because they got in a bay head, and they run in circles around and around and around and around for hours and hours and hours and never run it out of the bay head, he'd send us out there. And I never would forget, problems are magnified in the night. Every bush looked like a bear. Every twig looked like a snake. Ever been there? You know, problems seem to be magnified in the night. And can you imagine putting yourself into Mary and Joseph's shoes? Putting yourself, they just traveled 80 miles. Putting yourself in their shoes that, you know, they're traveling this length and Caesar's wanting all their money and it's at Christmas time and things are magnified. They've made it all this way to be told there was no room in an inn. They got to settle for a barn and in a stable where some animals were kept and Christ would be born and placed in a manger. And I can imagine all that was going through their head. Imagine all that they were going on and fear that comes by and like I said, you know, suddenly a bright light shines around about them. And think about a dark night when a bright light shines upon you, whoo, catch you off guard. You know, bright light spotting you out. You know, shines death on him. I thought about Saul on the road to Damascus and how he was walking and a bright light shined down upon him. He collapsed and hit the ground. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? And he changed his name to Paul. And I thought about that bright light that got his attention. I thought about the star and the bright light that shined upon the shepherds and how it led them to the true meaning and the real meaning of Christmas, how it led them to the Savior, how it led them to Christ that was being born. But I thought about that. And verse 9 said, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were what? They were so afraid. I can understand the being afraid. I can understand the discouragement. I can understand the depression. They were ready for a change. You might be going through some tough times. You might be caught up in an economy crunch. You might be in a situation where you've had unfulfilled promises that hasn't been fulfilled yet. So many things. You might be taxed to the limit over circumstances. But understand something. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. He watches over the flock. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knows what I'm going through. And just as the shepherd watches over the flock to keep them safe from the bears and lions and coyotes and wolves or whatever, just as he watches over them from the thieves. I thought about that as the shepherd and the light. My friend, we serve a shepherd and he is the light of the world. And that's the meaning of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas, we serve a shepherd that is the light of the world. And I thought about how he comes into picture and how it comes to play, no matter the circumstances and all that Mary and Joseph was facing, Jesus was still the shepherd. He was still the light. And my friend, you might be facing things today. You might be going through some circumstances. You might had a year of 2012 like never before. Well, you've been beat down, discouraged, my friend, and upset. I want to encourage you today that Jesus is shepherd. He's the Lord of your life. He's the light of the world. He wants you to still trust in him no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you're going through. He is the shepherd. He came to seek and to save that was lost. He came there to be your helping hand, to lead you in the dark night when things are magnified and seem to be going wrong. As I said, when every bush looks like a bear and every tree limb looks like a snake, he's there to help you through. He's there to lead you. He's there to guide you. The true meaning of Christmas, it's about the shepherd and about the light. Not only that, but number two, if you're taking notes, he's the heaven's message. Look at verse 10. He's heaven's message. Look at verse 10. It said, and the angel said unto them, what? Fear not. For behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. This is still the message today. The message today is still fear not. Fear not. For God, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? Of a sound mind. He did not give us the spirit of fear, folks. For Christmas, my friends, you need to understand that God came to give us power, to give us love, and of a sound mind. You don't have to be worried about nothing. You don't have to be feared about nothing. That's not what God came for. He came to release you from your fears, my friends. He came to set us free from that. Oh, listen to me. One of the gifts we often think is a gift from the Spirit is worry. But God didn't put that gift in there. God didn't give us the gift of worry. I can assure you that is not from God. The angel's message was, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And this is good news. We need to realize that God has good news for us. We sometimes forget the benefits of serving God. But he came that we can enjoy the benefits that he has for you and me. He has given us power over even the power of the devil. In Luke 10:19, he says this, behold, I give unto you what? Power to do what? Tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I like that verse. He said, but I give unto you what? Power to tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions. And he said, and over all the powers of the what? Enemy. Who's the enemy? He gives you and me the power to tread over that, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Turn it over to God. Trust in him as a servant of the Lord. Believe in his word. He gives you power. Rise above it, my friends. Rise above it. Take it and step on the scorpion. Step on the serpent in Jesus' name and get them running away, my friends. He's come that you may have power, my friends, and then come to give you an abundant life and a life that is worth living. And my friend, you have the power over the enemy. You need to tell Satan, I've drawn a line in the sand. Get thee behind me, Satan. Use God's word upon him. He came to give you power today and power over the enemy. And nothing can hurt you when it's founded in Jesus. He would give you the power. That is the meaning of Christmas. He came that you and I will have power and exhibit that power to understand that we can do greater things than what he did with the power that is invested in us that comes from the Lord Jesus. He gives that power to you and me. We just have a problem tapping into it. But this morning, he wants you to tap into his power. He wants you to be renewed in his power, revived in his power. That's what he came to do, is rejuvenate, regenerate a freshness and a newness, and revive us in the power of his name. Oh, he come to revive us today, that we can have power over the enemy. I heard about the devil coming into church, and he came in busting through the door, and everybody cleared out the whole entire church but one old man in the back. The devil turned around and looked at him. He said, why ain't you scared of me? He said, because I've been married to your sister for 25 years. Oh, you might be married to a she-devil around here. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He says, you ain't got the power. You don't have to fear nothing. You don't have to fear anything. Give it to the Lord and let the Lord take control of our life. Oh, listen to me. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. In Galatians 4:4-7 says this. Says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth his spirit of a son into what? Your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then what? An heir of God through Christ. The angel's appearance tell us that heaven is aware of what you have need of. And you know what? I thought about Daniel 3:28. I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I thought about the fiery furnace. My friend, God was aware of the fiery furnace. I thought about Daniel 6:22 and Daniel in the lion's den. My friend, God was aware that Daniel was in the lion's den. I thought about in Acts 5:19, Peter in prison. God knew and heaven was aware that Peter was in prison. My friend, heaven knows your dark hour. He knows your taxing time. He knows your fiery furnace. He knows your lion's den. He knows your prison. God knows, and in every one of them circumstances, I'm here to tell you, God showed up on the scene and delivered. God showed up on the scene and delivered. My friend, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood strong in their faith before Nebuchadnezzar, and they told him, "Oh, king, we will not bow down to your decree. We're going to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to serve Jesus. Heat up that furnace all you want to. My God will save me. He'll save me out of your hands. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, if he don't save me here, he'll save me yonder when I get there. He might not spare me from the fire here, but as soon as I take my last breath in that fire, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to be looking Jesus in his face." So he said, "Nevertheless, heat up the furnace if you want to." They heated it up and threw them in. The men that threw them in died. And the next day, or they looked in, and Nebuchadnezzar said, "Did we not put three men in that fire?" And they said, "Yeah, king, we did." He said, "Lo, I see four men, and the fourth one's like the Son of God. Jesus will deliver from the fire." Not only that, but we have Paul and Silas, and them were preaching, and they got thrown into a prison cell, and the devil thought he was going to shut them up. But God showed up in the prison cell, broke the prison cell's doors and bonds and chains away. And my friend and a Philippian jailer got saved because the obedience of them to follow Jesus. He knows about your prison. He knows about your dark days. He knows about the fiery furnace. You don't have to worry about nothing. Jesus is right on time. He's going to save and spare you for what you have need of. He is our message today. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And that is still our message today, is fear not. Fear not. My friend, Christ came, remembering the real meaning of Christmas. He came and banished fear away. You don't have to worry about nothing with God on your side. Number three, to who is the message sent? Look back at verse 10. He said, "To which shall be to all people." In verse 10, he says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? To all people." Oh, the good news is for all people. This Christmas season is about the good news for everyone. It's for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. The good news, my friend, is for us all. The center of the message is the Savior. In verse 11 it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," what? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus was born for all. Verse 12 says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." They were given instructions, my friend. People are looking for a way to God. You must follow the instructions. God gives us instructions. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." We have clear instructions on how to get to the Father. My friend, the world is looking for instructions all over, but you don't need any further instructions than to know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You see in these verses 10 through 14, the shepherds had, my friend, the instructions for the Lord Jesus. He said in verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe," what? "Wrapped in swaddling clothes." Doing what? "Lying in a manger." They had instructions on what to look for. My friend, Jesus has instructions for us to know how to get to heaven. As I said in John 14:6, it's clear. He said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Oh, listen, he gives us clear instructions. Last thing we got is heaven's methods. Number four, heaven's methods. Look at verse 13 and following again. He said, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." My friend, peace is available to you and me. The real meaning of Christmas, Christ wants to bring peace into your life. Christ wants to bring peace into your life, give you peace, give you rest, my friends. He wants to bring that to you. And he said in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace and goodwill towards men." Christmas time has become a time of worry, fret, and hassle. Peace can be yours in this time. Oh, you might have been through so much, my friend. He wants to give you peace. John 14:27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus gave his peace. He wants to give you and leave you peace today, not like this world gives you. The world's peace is dependent upon circumstances. God's peace is not dependent upon circumstances. God's peace is dependent upon decisions that you and I make to follow him and trust him. Oh, listen, he wants to give that peace to you. I'll never forget about the story where Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and Jesus fell asleep in the boat, and a great storm arose, and disciples were fighting off the waves and wind and the water. They were afraid and upset, and they discouraged, and they thought Jesus should be up. So they woke up Jesus from asleep in Mark 4:39. It said, "And he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the sea." And then he said, what? "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great storm. My friend, that's what he wants to leave with you today. There might be a great storm. There might be wind blowing. My friend, you might be in the middle of a tragedy or something going on. But Christ says, "Peace, be still." My friend, he has the power to calm the storms, the seas, and the winds of life. My friend, and he has the power to do that in your heart and mind. And he's saying today, "Peace be still." He wants to put his peace in your life, in my life. I thought about this morning, I thought about a great newspaper publisher on the early 20th century. His name was William Randolph Hearst. He was a great patron of artwork. He spent a great deal of time and money collecting great works of art. One day he found the description of an artwork that he felt he must own. So he sent out agents around the world looking for it. After months of searching for this one piece overseas, they returned empty-handed. But they discovered some amazing information. The artwork was actually nearby. It was actually found in a warehouse owned by William Randolph Hearst. He already owned it, but he failed years earlier to uncrate it. He had been searching for a treasure he had already had, but didn't realize he had it. What about you and me today? What about us today? Oh, listen to me. Christ wants to be the center of our life. He wants to be and give to you and me the Christmas that we desire to have. He wants to give to you and me life that you desire to have. He has everything. He's extended to us. My friend, he is the Savior of the world. He came, he was born, that you and I might live. He came that if we accept him as Lord and Savior, the greatest gift we could ever receive is the gift of Christ. My friend, he offers that free gift to you and me today. He tells us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, listen, he wants you to call upon him today. Oh, maybe you're going through a storm. Maybe you're going through a battle. Maybe you're going through some of the trials of this year of 2012 and feel like, as the shepherds, as Mary and Joseph felt, you know, walked 80 miles, got to Bethlehem, paid their taxes that Caesar wanted, no room to birth a child, find herself in a barn in a stable, my friend, and all these things that were going on. But yet, you know, Christ wants to bring you peace. He wants to take that fear that you might have facing the new year coming. You know, and the Maya calendar ended, so y'all better watch out. You might be fearful for that your computer's going to crash, your lights are going to be turned off, you ain't going to have nothing to eat, and all that stuff that the news media wants to put in you and cause everybody to get upset and get in a ruckus and get in a war. But I'm telling you, Christ says, "Fear not. Fear not. I got it under control. I want to give you my peace. And my peace that I give you is nothing like this world wants to give you. I want to give you some eternal peace. I want to let you know it's going to be okay. I died for you. I gave my life for you." Celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. I want you to trust me as Lord and Savior. I gave my life for you. I don't want you to fear. I want to give you peace. I want to give you peace. I want to give you comfort. I want to give you assurance. That's the meaning of Christmas. Christ come that we don't have to be afraid. Christ come that we can have peace in the middle of a storm. Christ come to be Savior of the world. And he said that he would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. What about it today? Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We'd love to be a church home. I'd love to be a pastor. Maybe you're here and you want to pray about something and offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to God for sending the Savior of the world. Maybe you're here, you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Maybe you're here and you want to be saved and you want to accept that Christ child as your Lord and Savior. All you got to do is call upon him. He says again in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come forward and I'll share with you in Scripture what you must do to be saved. Oh, he tells us in Romans 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking at your heart's door today. All he wants you to do is open it up and let him come in. Oh, will you do that today? Will you stand with us?